And, well, we couldn't have a pinch hitter for Murray. Everybody loves a good underdog story.
Are you with me?
All men are created equal. The judges left town, Harvey's quit, and I'm having trouble getting deputies.
It's the very conscience of humanity.
All right, I'll give you a chance, because I've got to.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
From classics like Robin Hood to contemporary icons like Harvey Milk, Hollywood loves to celebrate the wisdom and courage of the common man. Populism is a theme that runs across eras and genres, and common man roles feature giants from Marlon Brando to Barbra Streisand. And if you have a favorite underdog movie that celebrates the unlikely hero, the little guy who stands up against all the odds for what's right, call us with your nominee and a brief reason why. Our phone number, 800-989-8255, or zap us an email, talk@npr.org. There's a conversation at our website, npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. In response to that mob with torches and pitchforks, we've brought back Murray Horowitz, who's Talk of the Nation's favorite film buff, and he's with us here in Studio 3A.
Thank you so much, Neil. I'm, for a change, speechless. I mean, you had no pinch hitter for me, the mob after me.
That's right.
I'm in great shape.
No, the mob's in your favor. Anyway.
That's true.
This is not an easily categorized genre.
No, it's not. And in fact, it could, according to one person I spoke with, I'll talk about in a minute, it could mean the majority of all films ever made.
Certainly American movies.
It's
such a trope.
Exactly so. And American movies are in themselves a kind of populist entertainment. Don't forget, way back when, this was a huge technological step forward in bringing dramatic and comic entertainment to the masses. So, and insofar as dramatic characters are kind of emblems or symbols for other things, they're emblems for great parts of the populace. I have to say that we're talking about populism broadly defined. I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, the political movement or the 19th century political party.
Hey, we're not talking Rudy here.
No, well, in a way, I think we are. I think sports movies will get you. You played Rocky.
Yeah, but Rocky was he was at these thems and those's.
Well, Rudy was short. So anyway, but I mentioned before, having consulted a wise person on this, and it was, I'm happy to say, my filmmaker son, Alexander, who said that you can really say that the feature film is a uniquely populist institution. So it celebrates itself a lot, but mostly it celebrates ordinary people. The underdog has to be. So therefore, ordinary people is not a populist film.
It's not a populist film because it doesn't celebrate ordinary people. It was ironic that
right,
time.
Right.
So, but just think about it. League of Their Own. Sure, it's a populist movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of sports movies.
There are group underdogs like the folks in League of Their Own. You think of a kind of people in war movies, like maybe that constantly changing platoon in The Big Red One, the Sam Fuller movie. So there are war movies. There are sports movies. There are comedies. You know, I've been actually criticized by your staff for mentioning too many silent pictures, but who are Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton and Harry Langdon and Harold Lloyd but underdog, you know, emblems of every man?
Well, rather than us defining it, you could define it by what it is, because it's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
Or hear it.
800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Let's begin instead with Elizabeth. Elizabeth with us from Durham, North Carolina.
My favorite is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, Mr. Well, that is the classic, not only Washington, but populist film. Of course, Jimmy Stewart, an appointed senator, I think, from the state of Minnesota.
I think Minnesota. I think you're exactly right.
Comes in and, well, stages the greatest filibuster in film history.
You all think I'm licked. Well, I'm not licked. And I'm going to stay right here and fight for this lost cause, even if this room gets filled with lies like these.
Lies like these.
That's right. It really, you know, you could almost pick any Frank Capra movie, Elizabeth, but Mr. Smith, I mean, you know, you think of Meet John Doe and even It's a Wonderful Life, but Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is really the populist king of them all.
Thanks very much, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Let's see, we've got a bunch of emails here from Stephen. I was always a fan of the 1976 movie Network. Just wanted to throw that one in there. And again, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's interesting. The modern movies somehow, I would say post-World War II movies, can sometimes be ambivalent about populism. They can talk about the dangers of populism, too. There's some directors who love and trust the mob, and there are
others put pitchforks and torches in their hands.
You know, Alfred Hitchcock's not really fond of the people, widely defined. But in Network, I think the people are kind of this, you know, very kind of what do I want to say, mercurial beast. You know, they could go one way or they could go the other.
Let's get to another caller on the line, and let's go to, this is Kim, and Kim's with us from New Albany, Indiana.
Howdy. Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Thanks for calling in.
I have to offer not an underdog, but an underhorse. Seabiscuit stole my heart.
Seabiscuit, of course, the little horse who rallied back from a far back and, of course, overcame tremendous injuries to win the big cap.
I think it's
the jockey, too. The jockey was considered an underdog and complete loser because he was an alcoholic and he had so many injuries. And he came back, and Seabiscuit came back from those injuries to defy odds. And I think one of the few movies in my life I've ever actually given a standing ovation to.
Oh, my gosh.
I really wanted the William H. Macy part in that picture.
Oh, wasn't that great? With all the sound effects, it was a great movie. So, anyway, that's my vote.
I'm grateful to you, Kim, because I think it's right. I think the it was one of the first movies actually suggested to us, and I think it's right on. There are other – it, too, is a sports movie, after all, and we shouldn't forget, almost in the same Depression-era vein, Cinderella Man, about Jimmy Braddock.
Let's also talk about a peculiar entry in this competition, and that is, well, you don't immediately think populism, but The Wizard of Oz.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I yes. don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yeah, you got to get Bert Lahr in every show.
It's true. I mean, and this too. It's, I mean, one of the reasons that the Wizard of Oz is so iconic is, first of all, it's a perfect movie. Second, it's got a great score. It's all that. It's a musical. It's almost like a war movie. It's a quest movie. It's a kids movie, and there are a lot of kids movies. We'll get to them, I hope. But it's a comedy, and. Comedy always offers a fair field for populism, because one of the things it's always done is punch holes in stuffed shirts. You know, you humbug, right?
Mm-hmm.
So contrasting
every Marx Brothers movie,
right? Absolutely. Anything that contrasts ordinary folks with the wealthy or the powerful or the pretentious is the stuff of populism, and it's the stuff of comedy.
Let's see if we can go now to Colby. Colby calling us from Chicago.
Yes. One of my great underrated movies of all time, and I also think is about an underdog, is Tom Hanks' movie Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, we have an email on this. Here it is. It's from Mary. A normal guy with a bevy of problems handles a sudden life change, a mortal diagnosis, a launch into riches, and an incredible love possibility with grace and intelligence. Is that aplomb, she writes. Anyway, certainly less swagger than Jimmy Stewart in any role on 43, so seeing Meg Ryan in three sexy roles in one movie may have biased me. So that's your nominee, Colby?
She said it better than I could. It's a movie with great heart and great subtlety and great absurdism, but it's also a wonderful story about a guy who's going to find his purpose in life, even as forces conspire against him. So it's a wonderful movie.
All right. Thanks very much.
It's a good suggestion. And disease, we didn't mention sickness or illness as a way of making somebody an underdog, but there are, and I think of Silkwood, I think of Dark Victory from 1939,
sure.
And very often it's a woman. I mean, the Joe versus the Volcano, of course, is Tom Hanks, but very often it's a woman fighting the system or a woman fighting against great adversity.
And one of those women, of course, a lot of these are title movies. One of those women was Erin Brockovich.
You told me things would be fine. They're not. I trusted you.
I'm sorry about that.
I don't need pity. I need a paycheck. And I've looked. But when you spend the past 6 years raising babies, it's real hard to convince someone to give you a job that pays worth a damn. Are you getting every word of this down, honey, or am I talking too fast for you?
Ah, you got to love the patter.
You do. And it really is the classic of one person against the system.
One person against the system. But then there is the traitor to his class. This is a trope that goes all the way back to the beginnings of movies, the beginnings of stories, and that is the populist revolt led by a lord.
So you think you're overtaxed, eh?
Overtaxed, overworked, and paid off with a knife, a club, or a rope.
Why, you speak treason.
Fluently.
Of course, Errol Flynn is Robin Hood.
And this is a real, you know, we talked about this as a kind of American value, this sort of populism. And I've always thought that, you know, this was an enormous hit, The Adventures of Robin Hood in 1938, great score by Eric Wolfgang Korngold, I think. And it was inspiring. And just 3 years later, a lot of the people who were in dating to that movie in high school went off to World War II, and they knew what they were fighting for, in part because of movies like The Adventures of Robin Hood, where people get together to fight a tyrant.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to Ross. Ross with us from Denison in Ohio.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, Ross.
I'm going to say my favorite underdog movie would be The Big Lebowski and The Dude.
The Big Lebowski, that, of course, a famous Coen Brothers movie, one of my favorites.
Talk about every man. I mean, The Big Lebowski. The Coen Brothers have a number of, I would say, underdog populist movies. Certainly the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I guess to a certain extent, The Hudsucker Proxy. But in The Big Lebowski, they've really gotten, I think, to the comic heart of the matter, and it's an American classic. And please, Ross, give my best to everybody down the road at Kenyon College.
Ross,
I certainly will. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. We're talking with our favorite film buff, Murray Horowitz, on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Murray, it seems impossible that we've gone so long without mentioning the picture that, well, leapt to my mind first, and I bet it leapt to your mind, and that, of course, Henry Fonda in The Grapes of Wrath.
Wherever there's a fight so hungry people can eat, I'll be there. Wherever there's a cop beating up a guy, I'll be there. I'll be in the way guys yell when they're mad. I'll be in the way kids laugh when they're hungry and they know supper's ready.
And doesn't Jane Darwell, as Ma Jode, say at the end, we're the people.
We're the
and
people.
We keep coming, or something like
yeah,
that.
Something
I mean,
like that.
You can't get much more populist than that.
I will never be hungry. No, that's
that was the year before. this is 1940. It's John Ford, one of the greatest directors and one of his greatest achievements. And it's important to remember, I mentioned we weren't really talking about the 19th century political movement, but populism was an agrarian movement, and these are farm folks. These are folks out of the Dust Bowl. That was my first thought when I got the call about this show. I said, "Oh, Grapes of Wrath."
Another thought, and another picture by John Ford. You think of, in a way, the Western is the quintessential little guy movie, and this, of course, a scene from John Ford's famous Stagecoach.
Well, what's wrong?
The line went dead, sir.
What do you got there?
Only the first word, sir.
Geronimo.
Famous story about that picture. They showed it at the screening. The studio executive said, John, it seems a little flat. He said, I can fix it with half a day shooting. So he shot that scene with three guys in cavalry uniforms getting a telegram. Just says, Geronimo, cut to Stagecoach going lonely across the plain. Everybody knowing the Indian attack is coming.
He understood drama and he understood how to do it with pictures. There are some Westerns and some what used to be called in the 50s and 60s offbeat Westerns. You played a little snatch of dialogue from Gary Cooper in High Noon. One of my favorites is William Wellman's The Oxbow Incident, another one that shows the dangers of populism and of mob rule.
Vigilantes.
Yep. And as it always does, the Western offers us a way into American values.
And we're going to read some emails now. This is from Kara in Denver, Colorado. Little Miss Sunshine, not just one underdog, a whole family of losers. They don't even win in the end, but they do win in the sense they discover the importance and strength of family. Karen writes, one of my favorite movies is The Celebration of the Common Man. Is Preston Sturges's Sullivan's Travels. Great picture. Second is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Let's see. This from Bill in Radford, Virginia. I've used two films by King Vidor in my political science classes, American Romance and Our Daily Bread. A student,
yep,
Murray.
Yep.
And found them to be very effective vehicles for exploring the role of the common man in American society and different aspects of the political action and leadership. And let's see if we get one more. This from Brendan in Illinois. Salt of the Earth, hands down, he says. That one's
sure.
Quick, so we'll go to Dan in Lombard, Illinois, definitely Bread and Roses. And let's see, Barbara in Norfolk, Virginia nominates Dave with Kevin Kline and Sigourney Weaver. Great comedy about a lookalike that has to sub for the president and ends up bringing something to Washington that is so sadly lacking and shocks the establishment. Common sense. We're back to Mr. Smith. Murray, what's your favorite?
Well, my favorite, you know, for years I've had a stock answer to what's your favorite film? And it's really sort of my favorite film and nobody else's. It's called Ruggles of Red Gap.
Uh-huh.
And well, you know this film.
I do.
It's just great.
I know the remake, Fancy Pants.
Yeah, with Bob Hope. Good for you. But the original really is as good as it gets in terms of ensemble comedy. It's a movie that could probably never be made again because just of the casting of people who know how to, as we'd say in basketball, move without the ball, how to do zone defense, how to pass the thing around for themselves. And it is probably the quintessential movie about the American dream. Charles Laughton is about as low as you can get on the ladder of English society. He's a manservant. And his dissolute English lord, played by Roland Young, comes to fetch him, and he's decided that he really is an American.
A Western American. Now, let's hear some of that man-to-man dialogue.
Nevertheless, my lord, when people think you are someone, you begin to think you are. That's what I've been fighting about with myself all day, my lord. Am I someone or am I not?
Well, I only just got here, you see, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, I am someone, my lord.
Oh, let me be the first to congratulate you. How did you ever find it out?
Ah, you recollect an Abraham Lincoln, my lord?
Ah, yes, fellow of the cherry tree.
I want to just say one more thing. Neil, nobody mentioned children's movies, and there's a bunch of them that we use to really sort of inoculate kids with the American dream. I'm thinking almost any cartoon you can think of, you know, even the Shrek movies, all the Harry Potter movies. You know, he's an underdog who's given an impossible task. Snow White, The Little Mermaid, Ratatouille, all these are important underdog films.
Murray Horwitz is Talk of the Nation's favorite film buff. He joined us here in Studio 3A, and will talk to us about his favorite films from time. Getting time to be at the Summer Film Festival soon.
It's coming up.
Thanks, Murray. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, we're decoding the defense budget plus pinch hitting. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.